Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you were to join us for the adult Bible class on Sunday mornings in the parish center, you would be studying St. Luke's Gospel, the fourth chapter. And what happens to Jesus in Luke 4 fulfills the warning contained in the parable of the sower of the seed heard in today's Holy Gospel. A lot of seed is sown, but good fruit does not appear. Instead, Jesus and his word are fought against actively. The sown seed of the word of God faces adversity, hardship, harsh conditions, danger, difficulty. St. Luke reports that Jesus, after returning in the power of the Spirit from his temptation by Satan in the wilderness, went through all the countryside of Galilee, and as he began teaching in the synagogues, he was, quote, being glorified by all. Sounds good. Jesus' agenda was to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, to heal every disease and every affliction among the people. Sounds like everything should add up to Jesus being glorified by the people. Jesus then comes to Nazareth, where he had been raised by Joseph and Mary. And as it was his custom, Jesus goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the Jubilee year of the Lord's favor." Then he sits down to teach, and with all eyes on him, Jesus says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, in your ears. This word stands fulfilled by the one speaking it." Now, the implications for the faithful gathered at Nazareth were not lost on them. They heard the report from the rest of Galilee about Jesus healing every disease, every affliction, and the good news that the kingdom of God was coming, which for people of first century Israel usually meant that this would be the end of the Roman occupation and a restoration of Israel to its own kingdom. All of these things are results, you know, that one can see. They want to see these good things happen. Instead, they hear that they are poor, captive, blind, the oppressed, in need of divine help and intervention. And, you know, sinners don't like to be told they are sinners. So the people grumble against the preacher. They bring up old rumors to needle him. "This is Joseph's son," they say. "The illegitimate one, you know, from when Mary showed up pregnant all those years ago." And they think to themselves, "Physician, heal thyself. Heal us here in your hometown, like you've been healing others around Galilee. We want to see some good out of you, Jesus, before we believe this word that you're saying." And it doesn't go well for Jesus from there. No prophet is acceptable in his fatherland, in his hometown. Even the prophets of old were rejected by Israel and ended up healing Gentiles, Jesus says. And that stirs up the anger of the Nazareth crowd. And they try to murder Jesus in wrath by pushing him over the local cliff edge to his death. But before they could, he made his way out of the crowd alive and begins walking onward towards Capernaum. And he shook the dust of Nazareth off his feet, no doubt. And then when he gets to Capernaum, there he encounters the demon-possessed and many more people to be healed of many diseases and maladies. The devil is relentless against God and his word. Some seed falls on the path and is eaten by the devil's birds. Some seed falls on rocky soil and fails to take deep root and burns up under trial and temptation. Some seed falls among the thorns and is choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Adversity faces the sowing of the seed and the sower of the seed, the planting of God's word. And the sower of the seed just sows recklessly. He doesn't really care wherever the seed may fall. God's word is for the entire world. But the world and the devil work against that word, against Jesus and the coming of his kingdom. And even in the preacher's hometown, it meets resistance and rejection and adversity. So think about the history of things. The Old Testament prophets who proclaimed the future Christ to come for the blessing of the entire world were rejected, persecuted, jailed, murdered. Isaiah, Psalm 2. The Christ himself, who came to be the Savior of all, was rejected by his own people. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He would suffer, be crucified, die, and would be buried, like a seed into the ground. His apostles and preachers are promised no better in the New Testament. There will be adversity, Jesus promised. No servant can expect any better treatment than his master receives. And that is St. Paul's story that we heard today in the epistle. He sows the seed of the word of God across the Roman Empire. He preaches Christ crucified for sinners, to Jews and to Gentiles both, in synagogues and in pagan temples, in great cities of the world and in small towns. What can he boast of? Riches? Fame? Huge numerical success everywhere? No. Great labors, imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death, 5 times given the 40 lashes by the whip, beaten with rods, stoned once, almost to death, maybe did die. Seems like he maybe was raised in that text. Shipwrecked, danger on the journey from rivers, robbers, Jews, Gentiles, hunger, cold, exposure, and beyond that, he is anxious for his Christians that the gospel has sprouted up because they will face adversity. His Lord tells him, yes, you suffer attack from Satan for being a preacher of the word, but my grace, Jesus says, is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus' power, his word, is made perfect in weakness. It is sown in dishonor. It faces adversity, attack, even hatred. It is a cross-shaped power that God wields. It appears weak and powerless in the world. The word in truth is pure and good, and by its very nature can do nothing but bear fruit. The fact, however, that it does not bear fruit everywhere is not the fault of God and his word, but it's the fault of the soil, people's corrupted hearts, your sin-sick heart and mine. We are unclean and impure, and by our sinful nature, we will fall away from the saving word of God under duress. We will allow ourselves to be choked by the cares, the riches, and pleasures of this life. We will, to our own devices, suffer these adversities, and not to mention, Satan attacks relentlessly because he sows doubt and a bad conscience in your heart and mind. Nazareth, Galilee, Israel, the Roman Empire, Terre Haute, modern America, the word has been sown. Jesus has come and been sown in the earth for our sake. And the word about Jesus has gone out even to the ends of the earth. Some will be converted, but there are probably 3 times more who will take offense and reject the saving word of God. That is the warning of Jesus' parable today. It's the adversity today's collect prayed we would be spared of. The birds seek to pick off the exposed seed. The heat of the day is burning, and the thorns are choking the harvest from being fruitful. The world is an evil place. It's why this sanctuary is not packed to the rafters every Sunday. And it's why we are not needing to plant 100 more Lutheran congregations like this one across this city, county, and region. But the mystery of the kingdom Jesus also reveals to you this day is this. The Lord continues to send out his word, his law and his gospel, proclaimed to the world, to all men who like or like it not. Though some be snatched, and some be scorched, and some be choked and matted flat, the sower sows and his heart cries out, oh, what of that and what of that? He keeps on sowing. The adversities described by the parable which face God's kingdom have ultimately been defeated. Jesus, sown in his earthly tomb in dishonor after suffering the shame of the cross, has, after all, you know, been raised in glory. So all of his scattered plenteousness, of all of it, only 1/4 waves ripe on hill and flat and bears a harvest hundredfold. Never faint, friends. The risen Lord contends for and cultivates his harvest. And that means you. You are Jesus' miracle harvest. The harvest Lord watches and tends his planted word, the work of his church, to forgive sins. Should we say, working to give comforting shade from the heat of trial, to detangle those thorns of temptation, to drive away the devil's crows. He died and rose, after all, to pay for that harvest. It is more precious to him than anything we can know and imagine. You were bought with the greatest ever price. His forgiveness given in his word preached and his sacraments given conquers the adversities and fears of this sin-corrupted life. Therefore, I urge you, do not fear the attacks of the devil, the trials and the temptations. Be aware of them, be wary of them, but do not fear them. Do not fear the attacks of the devil. Do not give in to the allurements of this world. You need not fear even death itself, which is the deepest of all adversities that we face. The pure gospel of his cross is preached to you. The Holy Spirit is given you. His word will strengthen and keep you firm in his word and faith until you die to this life. And until you are delivered from every evil of body and soul and are given what the Catechism says is a blessed end. That's where we want to go. We need not fear the blessed end. That is, when the harvest is gathered from this valley of adversity and sorrow unto God himself in heaven. What is sown in apparent weakness and dishonor, like a lowly seed planted into the ground that appears to be dead, will be raised alive in glory and power and will bear the image of the man of heaven, even the risen Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.